series today, while the plates are being passed, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews for a few weeks now, looking closely at what exactly Jesus has done for us in the work that he did on the cross. We talk about the fact that he went to the cross, but Hebrews is an entire book dedicated to explaining to us, based on some texts from the Old Testament, how Jesus fulfills those and what he is doing for us now, how what he has provided is superior to the Old Covenant, but yet fulfills it as well. And so it's a wonderful book. It's almost more like a sermon than a letter. As you sit down to read it, just finally at the end, it has a few things about it that make it a letter. But it's basically an encouragement to us based on how God has been working over time and has worked in such a special way in Jesus. So today we'll be in Hebrews chapter 7. So if you'll stand with me in honor of God's word, if you're physically able to do it. And you can read that on the screen or in your bulletin or in your own Bible. I'll be reading from the New International Version today. This is the word of the Lord. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness, but the oath, this is referring back to Psalm 110, and I'll speak to that later, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. This is God's word. You can be seated. So even 2,000 years later, we still continue to hear a lot about Jesus. He's a figure that, if nothing else, he shows up on Time Magazine and Newsweek at Easter and Christmas. So people see that. Shows up in people's yards as something plastic with a light bulb inside it around Christmas time as well. People know about Jesus. They've heard the name Jesus. People say the word Jesus almost as a response or a cuss word. But who is Jesus really? That's what we're going to be taking a deep dive into over this next few weeks. Well, Jesus is, first of all, the Son of God. And that means that Jesus is the unique Son of God, that we don't understand exactly how all of that works or comes to pass, but we know it by revelation from the Word of God that Jesus is the one and only Son of the Father. That makes him uniquely qualified to be able to minister to us and to bless us. And he's one who is both God and man, because he came to earth and took on human form. Just a few weeks, we're going to begin celebrating that miracle of the incarnation. And so when Jesus came, though, he stepped into history. And sometimes this is a piece that is missing to us. And so we struggle to understand the Old Testament, and we just hang around in the New Testament. But then while we're reading the New Testament, we come across stuff that we don't really know that much because we're starved for knowledge about the Old Testament because we don't read it. Can I get an amen? But we need to read it. Can I get a louder amen? Jesus was the Messiah, and that only means something if you understand all that God was doing throughout history through the nation of Israel, as they were looking for a true king who would lead them into God's better future. The term Messiah means anointed one, and that is literally where the word Christ comes from. Christos is the Greek translation of the word Messiah. So when we say Jesus Christ, we're not saying his first and last name. We need to understand that. We're saying Jesus, comma, Messiah. That is essentially what we are saying. He is the Messiah, the one who fulfills all the longings of God's people for true leadership, for righteous and bold leadership, but also the Messiah who would deal with the source of our problem deep down inside, which is, of course, the problem of sin and selfishness. Because we have sinned, we just can't seem to get our act together. We just can't seem to keep moving forward as human beings. And so we need a Messiah to show us the way to meet our need. We also refer to Jesus as our Savior. And this one, we've kind of watered it down a little bit. Is Jesus your personal Savior? Well, it doesn't fit in your pocket, right? Like that. He's not this little warm, cuddly Savior you can hold on to. Savior means the one who saves us and delivers us, right? He's the mighty one. He's the one who is able to go to the cross. And he endured the most intense suffering you could possibly imagine, being tortured for hour after hour. And he was doing it though he was innocent and pure. He did it for us so that he could become a sacrifice for our sins, that we might be forgiven. He is our Savior because he can save us, which means he can deliver us. Now, sometimes we think of Savior as the one who reaches down and plucks us out of trouble and puts us on a nice comfy couch. But that's not really. A Savior is one who delivers you through the trial. The Savior is the one who comes to you in your time of need and guides you through it and on to better days looking forward. He doesn't set you aside so you don't have any more trouble. He enables you to overcome all the trouble by his grace and power and strength. Amen? That's what a Savior really does. We have to face and deal with the problems of the world and the problems that reside in our own hearts and minds. But he is the one who will lead us through it. But also Jesus is our risen Lord, right? He's accomplished so much for us, and then he was raised from the dead, and we sang about the glory of that this morning. How amazing that is, that he has now overcome sin and death and hell and all of it, and he is exalted, and as our risen and ascended Lord, he now has the power to see us through, again, every type of problem that could possibly happen. We're going through a trial. We tell him about it. He's like, been there, done that. Let's go. If we're even facing death itself, Jesus has experienced it. That is amazing. Do you stop and think about that? And can it bring you comfort to know that he moved beyond it and he can work in your life in the same way? We look forward to the resurrection because Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection. Well, but now what we'll get to in these passages in the book of Hebrews is an understanding of Jesus as the high priest of an eternal covenant. A high priest of an eternal covenant. So you'll understand that a little bit more as we go along, but that's another important answer to who is Jesus. So let's begin to look at it. What has he done for us? This is the question to keep considering. Well, the first thing that Jesus does for us is the way that we come to even know about him and who he is. The first thing he did was he showed us just how far God was willing to go in order to meet our need. How far was that? Jesus became flesh. He became a human being. By the most amazing miracle that you could imagine, God became flesh. What a sacrifice just to make that move, to come into our world. like Neo going into the Matrix, even knowing what he was going to face, or Tron, whichever generation you had of those sci-fi movies, or like someone else, just leaving the throne and leaving all of the power and the glory and the riches to go and dwell among the poor and to work and to serve and to love. Jesus took on all that limitation, and how terrifying was it just to make that leap from the perfection of heaven and the glory of angels and then to suddenly be an infant baby trying to draw a first breath and screaming and crying about this world. He went through all of that, and it shows us that God, from his very design in the beginning, was willing to go all the way into our world so he could solve our problems. Then Jesus sanctified childhood. Do you realize that? It's okay to be a little kid who doesn't have it all figured out yet. Amen? Right? It's okay to be trying to grow up and trying to figure it out. It's okay to be misunderstood by adults. Anyone ever get misunderstood by adults when you were a kid? Yeah. It's not easy sometimes. Even Jesus, the Son of God, right? And his parents just forgot about him and didn't know where he was. And they're still yelling at him about why he wasn't with them. He's like, I'm sorry, I was just in the temple getting an advanced degree in Bible study. What were you guys doing today? But it says, no, he made himself subject to them. And he accepted even their limited attempt to try to raise him. But it's okay to be a kid, to be growing, to be wiggly, to sometimes feel like crying. It's part of how we're developing and growing, and it's the miracle of life unfolding. And Jesus walked through all of those days. He was an infant. He was an elementary age kid. He was a middle schooler. He was on up until he finally became a man. He walked through it honestly with a deep desire to learn and grow, and a desire to know his Heavenly Father. He said, I must be in my Father's house. And that's saying a lot. When we're raising our kids, there's nothing more important that we can do than try to share with them how much their Heavenly Father loves them and how much his love is the key to their happiness in the future of life. Well, then, as Jesus became an adult, he called us out of life as usual to be his disciples. He taught us what we need to know about God's love and about God's transforming power. And then, of course, he died on the cross for our sins. And this is a big part of what Hebrews is focusing on. It's focusing on how Jesus' sacrificial death made a relationship with God possible for everyone forever. So I'm going to say that again. Jesus' sacrificial death made a relationship with God possible for everyone forever. That's a pretty good accomplishment for a day, isn't it? People often take it for granted, but Hebrews is dedicated. It stands as a permanent monument to us as to why we should never take it for granted and why we have every reason to glory in what Jesus did for us, and how it should be a central focus in our lives. It's so sacred what he did for us. It's so detailed how he attended to our need. And it's so perfect in every way, this work that he has done for us. So that's what he has done for us. But what is he doing for us now? People sometimes are asking, you know, what have you done for me lately, Lord? Well, there'd be a long list, wouldn't there? But it's not just about what he did back then on the cross. It's about his continuing ministry for his people. And so in verse 25, it says the following. Let's just read this together. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. As you're reading the book of Hebrews, it seems clear it's kind of written in that second generation time. These were people who didn't get to witness all the events firsthand, but now they have come to faith, and he's reminding them of all of that stuff that went down and why important it was, how important it was. Well, if it was important for that second generation to understand, it's certainly important for us, who knows how many generations later, to not forget the context and the importance of all that he's done. And that's powerful where it says, because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus is not just a historical figure. Jesus is a living Lord who is ministering to us continuously, even now. Isn't that loving? Isn't that powerful and beautiful? His ongoing ministry makes it possible for us to remain faithful. It makes it possible for us to remain connected to God despite all the distractions and challenges of life. In real time, Jesus is working now for your prayers to be answered. As long as we live, and even unto death, and even beyond the grave, Jesus is the very source of our life. Amen? And apart from him, we would be nothing, and there would be spiritual death all around. All right, well, this next question could be a 12-week course, and we would only scratch the surface. But what is a high priest? Well, a high priest means like the most important priest, right? The priest who does the most important things. And the most important role that the high priest held in ancient times was that on the Day of Atonement, he was the one who would go in and present the sprinkling of blood on the altar for the remission of the sins of the people. This was a very important role. It was also a somewhat dangerous role. Because he was acting on behalf of everyone, then what he was doing required precision. And he needed to carry it out faithfully and not forget who he was or where he was or how important it was what he was doing. And so they would actually dress up the high priest in a special costume for that day that actually had bells on him and a rope tied to his leg, right? So as he went in to offer the sacrifice, they were standing outside listening for jingle bells, all right? Because as long as the bells were jingling, they knew the priest was okay and was doing his work. Of course, if the bells stop jingling and they hear a thud, then he may have messed up. They need to pull him out with the rope and suit up the next person in line to be the high priest to go in and complete the offering of the sacrifice. So the high priest needed to be perfect in the fulfilling of the duties. Now we know in the Old Testament there are situations of a few people making mistakes and dropping dead, but we don't have a specific historical record of a priest messing up and them having to take this route with him. But it just demonstrates the importance of making the people and God one and the people with each other one. The Day of Atonement is still celebrated. It's the day of at-one-ment, if you really want to just spell it out. Bringing together parties that might have been separated by sin or grudges or whatever other problems that could happen. But Jesus is living to make us one with God and to help us be at peace with each other. There's so much more to say, but that's enough for us to get the importance of what's being described here. And it says that Jesus is the perfect high priest. Let's say that together. He's the perfect high priest. Because there had to be a line of succession. Just like if you went back through the annals of all the records of this church, there have been many pastors who have come and gone, right? Some who are still living and some who have gone on to their reward. There had to always be a new guy to come in and take over and go through what's next. And none of them were perfect in any way, all doing important work that helped move the church forward, all having flaws and imperfections as we all do. And that's how it was with the high priests as well. And so it was a continuing ministry that had to keep going on because the people still sinned and the offering had sort of an expiration date for 1 year at a time and it needed to be offered again. And before the priest performed this function, he had to also offer a sacrifice for his own sinfulness as well. And so it was this complex, complicated, ongoing system of trying to bring the people together. But Jesus was permanent. The Greek word there is menein. He remains. That's what it says. He is the priest who remains, who continues, who goes on. And that's powerful because we don't have to see, well, who's up for being Jesus this year? There's no election that's going to be held, right? We're not going to have to figure out the lineage there to see who comes next because Jesus remains, amen? Jesus is still our high priest. For every Christian that has ever lived and died and gone on to glory, there has been one high priest for us all, amen? And so we are part of that powerful chain, and we know that we are served by the one who has served every generation before us. And so his grace is sufficient for us, amen? So let us celebrate that. Let us rest in that. Let us trust in that. Let us roll up our sleeves and get to work so other people can know that. Amen? Verse 26 reminds us, such a high priest truly meets our need, right? It's not like it's hanging in the balance. Now, I don't know if Jesus is going to meet my need today. I better worry and fret and maybe that'll help, right? I don't know if Jesus is going to meet my need today, so I better go dig and scurry and scratch and search the internet to find if there's something else better out there. No. Jesus meets our need. Truly meets our need. Now, he's not handing out candy, right? Some of it doesn't taste as good as other things. But it's meeting our need. Amen? And that's what we need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners. And this may in fact mean just how he rose above us and went beyond us, exalted above the heavens. That's again speaking to the fact that he is now risen and reigning. He's the Lord who ascended back to heaven. We forget that sometimes. All right, and all of this is speaking back to Psalm 110. And throughout Hebrews, there are four main Old Testament passages that are being referred to again and again, but a lot of it centers around what Psalm 110 says. Verse 4 says, let's read this together. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now, we don't have time to unpack Melchizedek, or we'll be here till 1:30, but if you go back in the Old Testament, this is a special priest from Salem, that became Jerusalem later on, a priest who shows up out of nowhere, offers bread and wine, how about that one, and then ministers to Abram, and Abram gives him 10% of all that he has. So much packed into the identity of Melchizedek, and he seems to be from of old, and so we don't know if that means that he's truly an eternal figure, but Jesus is the kind of priest that's on the order of Melchizedek. Was Melchizedek Jesus? The scripture never goes that far to say so, but he's certainly a foreshadowing of Jesus and all so many things about our worship. But it's an oath that the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You're a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And this is a passage that never made its complete sense until we saw and experienced who Jesus is. Amen? So that's the oath that the passage was referring back to. It happened in the past, but it's not going to change. And it affects that Jesus is our permanent priest now. Verse 28 just drives home a point I've been making today. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. And that is beautiful. Then back to verse 25 again. Therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. So this morning, he's interceding for you. He's interceding for those you love. He can't make you or anyone else into a robot who will do it perfectly every time. But he is showing love. He is pouring out God's grace. He's calling everyone back home who strayed, and he's calling all of us deeper into the love of God. Jesus, he loves me. He is for me, just like we sang this morning. Amen. He's our interceding priest. Jesus, when he died for our sins, he descended to the dead. He ministered there. He drew out and led captives out into their freedom, and he led us all bringing back the bounty from his victory, and those are the gifts that he has poured out upon us to continue his ministry until he comes again. And he knows that we have needs. He understands our weakness. He knows what it is to get tired. He knows what it is to be frustrated. He knows what it is to be confused by the behavior of human beings around him. He's like, don't you guys get this again and again? And so he's our perfect priest. And you can bring your burdens, all of them, to him. You can lay them at his feet. And he is tending to them now. He's answering prayers. He's opening doors. He's preparing the way. Do you know that he is your interceding priest this morning? He is. Are you functioning? Are you living your life as if Jesus is interceding for you? Well, this is a morning for you to settle on that, to consider it for a moment, and make sure, because he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the perfection of the work of Jesus for us. Though we study it our whole lives and experience it all our days on earth, we'll have only scratched the surface and we'll have all of eternity to understand it even more completely. But we can understand this. We got a whole lot of needs, but we also got a whole lot of Savior, a whole lot of High Priest to meet all of them. So this morning, I pray that we wouldn't stray or look any other direction for the needs of our life to be met. Lord, may it never be so that we would be finding Jesus inadequate, because he's perfect and he is forever and he remains. So through the changes of our life, let Jesus be the one thing we cling to. This morning, with your eyes closed, if God is talking to you, you've had a fresh reminder of just what Jesus is doing for you and how wonderful it is, and you just want to thank him for it and make sure you're leaning in and living into it this morning. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and give God glory? Thank you, Lord. This morning, if you're struggling a bit and you've never trusted Jesus at this level and you're still trying to learn and understand and grow into it and you want me to pray for you, would you raise your hand this morning as well? Anyone here? Thank you. Thank you. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for the good work you're doing as you are interceding for us even now as we're seeking you. I thank you for all those who are here this morning who have sensed a fresh revelation of your love and your deep work in their lives. Reassure them and comfort them, Lord. Renew them in their faith and lead them into another week of living into the reality of your kingdom coming and your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And for those of us who are continuing to seek after that confirmation, to know that deeply within, Lord, minister to us as well and renew us, Lord, and lead us on in you. We're grateful that you love us and are for us, and are always, always interceding for our needs and for our favor in the world. And I pray, Lord, that as we prepare to leave this space, that we would know that we're stepping into your world. May we live as people with a living Lord, with a reigning High Priest who's ever interceding for us. And may it give us peace and life. In Jesus' name. Isn't God good? Amen. Well, before before we go, Joy asked me to give her a moment, so I'm going to let her come and do what she's doing.
Had a lot of things going on here in the church and in the lives of individuals. And I would say that Pastor Tim has been a part of all of it, and I think you all would agree. So today, if you'd just like to step down here a little bit, and I would like to give you this card and a token of appreciation from the people of Fair Meadow. And I would also ask if anybody wants to stand up and say anything, how they appreciate Pastor Tim or what he means to you. Now, I'm giving you the opportunity.
I will take this opportunity. I love Pastor Tim. He is a big answer to my prayers. And he's wonderful. He's always there. He's involved in everything, like you say. I'm convinced he follows the Lord. And that's wonderful for me. He brings peace into my life. I give God all glory and praise for bringing him into our lives.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate the encouragement. Thank you. I appreciate you too. Thank you. Well, this is so wonderful. If anybody else wants to say anything, they can, but that's fine. I know you may not have been prepared to, but let me read the card. So nice of you to think of me and our family. When you think of me, think of my wife and pray for her as well. It says, to encourage you, your life is a gift to you, but also to those who know you. You lighten cares, share laughter, and are a blessing to so many. Pastor Tim, today enjoy God's view of you, special, valuable, and loved beyond measure. You are loved, respected, and appreciated, your Fair Meadow Church family. Thank you. And there's a wonderful check-in here, so we thank you for that. So thanks be to God. I appreciate him calling us here and helping us to fulfill the mission that he has for us, and I hope that it's his plan for us to be together for a long time to come. But thank you so much. All right, well, let's stand together. I pray that God will fill you with comfort and hope. And I pray that your knowledge of our interceding high priest will be a special comfort and encouragement to you this week. Share his hope and love because our world needs it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Appreciate you. One more thing I forgot to announce.